Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. The weekend started with a tribute to Kobe at Staples.
Everybody that's here, this is really, truly, truly a family. And I know Kobe and Gianna and Vanessa and everybody, thank you guys from the bottom of their heart, as Kobe said.
Although we didn't get the W Friday night, we were together as the healing process began.
Tonight, we celebrate the kid that came here at 18 years of age, retired at 38, and became probably the best dad that we've seen over the last 3 years, man.
The next night, the Lakers took out the Kings.
The Lakers come into Sacramento and beat the Kings.
And now the Spurs come to Staples tomorrow night. Alan looks ahead tonight and takes your calls all tonight on Lakers Talk. Your city, your station, your Lakers. 710 ESPN. Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. We got a lot to get into. One of the first things I want to do is just talk a little bit about the last week or so. Talk about the last couple of days. You know, finally, in a sense, basketball. Lakers are playing basketball again. And I'm curious to just hear from Laker fans on how much playing the game again helps, or is it a tough reminder? I think there's, you know, a number of different, not just angles, but emotions that people are going to feel simply because of everything that's gone on over the last week or so. So first thing I want to say is this. I got a chance very, very minimally to tell a little bit about what went on Friday and even Saturday's game, because I think Saturday's game, even though it wasn't a home game, just watching the Lakers play and commenting on it and pregame and postgame and all that stuff. I just want to go to Friday real quick. Friday was like nothing, you know, we've ever seen before. And by the way, hopefully we never see it again under those circumstances. And I just remember leading up to Friday, just kind of thinking in my head, well, what is this going to be like? What's the arena going to be like? What's it going to look like outside? I got to Staples around 4 o'clock. So I'm walking up towards the arena, and nobody can get in across the street to Staples Center unless you had a ticket. So there's obviously a ton of fans kind of trying to work their way. And then a ton of Laker fans that were there in this makeshift memorial that organically just happened in LA Live, which, by the way, is taken down now. So if you're going to try and come down to LA Live for that, that's not there anymore. So I want to make sure I let Laker fans know that. If you don't already know that, I saw a lot of Laker fans today kind of circling LA Live thinking that it was still available. It's not available. So they've got it all fenced up. John mentioned it, what the Lakers are doing. A lot of those items are going to the Bryant family. A lot of those items are going to the Los Angeles Lakers as well. And then all the flowers will be turned into mulch, and it will be kind of spread around all the different plants that they have here in LA Live. So I get into the arena. One of the first things I saw when I got into the arena, I go straight to where I sit as far as the media seat is, and it's right behind John Ireland and Michael Thompson. And I sit there, and I'm just kind of looking around, and you got all the Kobe shirts, the 24s, the 8s on every single seat. But the thing that stuck out to me, and I put it up on Twitter at Lakers Talk ESPN, the thing that stuck out is just all the lights were out. All the lights were off. And the lights are off, and I look up to my right, and there's number 8 and number 24 lit up in the rafters. That's it. Everything else is blacked out. There's things over the all the other jerseys and everything else. Just number 8 and number 24. That's all you could see. It's just surreal to me. You know, the whole thing is just still so surreal to me. And by the time, and I know a lot of people have probably already talked about the pregame festivity or the pregame tributes that went on for Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and all seven that passed a little bit over a week ago in that helicopter crash. When I'm looking around, and I just, like, I'm trying to soak everything in, and soaking it in, just trying to comprehend it all. Usher does his performance, the beautiful, beautiful tribute. I don't know how many minutes, maybe 7 minutes, something along those lines. Lawrence Tanner doing the introduction. I think that kind of set chills down my spine, where he's saying at 6'6", shooting guard at a Lower Merion High School, Kobe Bryant, and it's Avery Bradley that comes out, at 6'6", shooting guard out of Lower Merion High School, Kobe Bryant, in his 20th season, Kobe Bryant, Danny Green comes out, and they do that for the entire starting lineup. And then, you know, the ball is tipped. 24-second shot clock violation, 8-second violation. This was obviously the first game for the Lakers. That has been the theme that's gone on around the league since the passing of Kobe Bryant. And then a basketball game starts. And that part, for me, was the part that I cared least about. I'm going to kind of try and say it as bluntly as possible. The basketball part just didn't feel like it meant anything. And me being a fan of the Lakers since I was a little kid, and obviously I know a lot of people that tune into this broadcast, you're tuning in live, you're in your car right now, or you listen on the podcast, whatever the case is, I don't think we've had very many moments where we talk about Lakers basketball. And there's a moment during Lakers basketball that you're saying, I just didn't care about the game. And that game against the Portland Trailblazers, I just didn't care. Did I want the Lakers to somehow find a way to stop Damian Lillard, who I think had 48 that game? Yes. Did I want the Lakers, or 46, whatever he had? Did I want the Lakers to find a way to not let Hassan Whiteside go 13 or 14 from the field, have 30 points and 15 rebounds? Yes, I didn't want any of that to happen. Did I want the Los Angeles Lakers to win that game because at least for a brief moment it would give some Laker fans something to smile about? Of course, I wanted the Lakers to win that game. But in that moment on that day, I can't, properly explain how that game. That was uncharted water, for myself included, where I'm watching Lakers basketball and I'm just like, there's so much emotion going into that game. There's so much emotion during the game. The Kobe chants at different times during the game. By the way, I was hoping that was going to happen throughout the entire game. And I'm sure Laker fans, it's like they're, a few different times you hear the Kobe chants and I'm like, man, I just want to hear this for 5 straight minutes. I know that's unrealistic, but that's how you felt. And that's how you felt in the moment. And then Saturday came along, and Lakers play the Sacramento Kings. And the basketball part of that felt really good. The basketball part of that, where the Lakers jumped up 44-22, they hit 14 three-pointers in the first half. They get not 70 points in the first half, not 75 points in the first half, not 80 points in the first half, but 81 points in the first half. We know, obviously, Kobe's highest point total, 81, second most amount of points scored in a game behind Wilt Chamberlain. They get those 81 points. And then that basketball part kind of started coming back, where it felt like, okay, this season takes a whole different meaning. It's not about just going out there and getting number 17 anymore, like it might have been a week and a half ago. It's not about trying to get the number one seed in the Western Conference and looking at the standings every day and seeing, all right, where the Lakers compared to Denver, the Clippers, and everything else. I feel like this season has a different meaning to it. It's way bigger than basketball. That's the best way I can put it. I have not got, and I think probably most Laker fans can relate to this, maybe even most fan bases, because we've never been in this position before. But I've never felt, so overwhelmed about how a fan base was reeling and is reeling and is hurt. And I've never been in a predicament or a situation before where you don't have to say anything to anybody. Everybody knows what's going on. I could go to the game at Staples Center and not have one conversation with somebody, but make eye contact with them, and we're both thinking the same thing. I could on Sunday be driving in. This was a week ago on Sunday, driving into this radio station and walking in LA Live, and I don't have to say a thing. Everybody kind of has the same feeling. Everyone has the same thought. It's a different type of season. Let's put it that way. I want to get more into that when we come back. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll ask Laker fans out there, what does the rest of the season mean to you? We've never been through this before. Has your interest in the game decreased because you know it's just a game and it's not real, real life like we saw a little bit over a week ago? Or has it taken a different meaning where this season means everything to you and means everything to Lakers Nation? We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. You're listening to the Lakers Talk podcast presented by Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm are huge Laker fans, and we're excited and proud to partner with and sponsor the Lakers Talk podcast. So if you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
All right, phone number is 877-710-ESPN. What does the rest of the season mean to you? Let me make sure that I kind of describe this the right way. One of the things I love about doing this show and just being on the radio, to be honest with you, I genuinely enjoy talking Lakers basketball. And that's something that, you know, since I was a kid, there's nothing better than talking sports. There's nothing better than watching the Lakers when I was a kid to now. You know, I enjoy watching these games. What happened with Kobe Bryant, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that my perception of things changed a little bit. Why wouldn't they? You know, why wouldn't they change when you've watched somebody for as long as you have and you've appreciated their game and you know how much that person gave to the Los Angeles Lakers, gave to the organization, gave to the fan base, 5 NBA championships, 20 years, stepping up with a torn Achilles, hitting 2 free throws, and walking out into the tunnels at Staples Center. We know what Kobe Bryant meant to the Los Angeles Lakers, and we know how many memories he gave to a lot of fans out there, and we know that because of the outpouring of love Kobe Bryant has got since he passed away, which is so crazy to say and will always be crazy to say. We know how important he was to this fan base. So I've had a wave of emotions the last few days. When it happened, I'd come on every night and I was doing shows. And the shows that I was talking about, or the things I was talking about, it varied. The one thing I wasn't doing was talking any basketball. I didn't care about the basketball part. Okay, well, my job starting Friday, last Friday, you got a pregame show to do. You're going to be doing, you know, these updates at the end of the first quarter, third quarter. You're going to do a postgame show. Saturday is going to be the same thing. I got to get back into it. You know, that's my job. And I looked at, as from a fan perspective, how do you kind of how do you soak all this in? And is it something that takes you closer to the game, or do you think takes you further away from the game? I know what I can't do yet. Spectrum's been playing these Laker games. I don't like watching those old games. I really don't. I don't like watching Kobe's 81-point performance. I don't like watching Kobe's game against the Sacramento Kings, that Game 7. I don't like watching those because I don't feel like I'm ready for that yet. Now, a year from now, 6 months from now, that might be different. I might be sitting in front of my TV saying, Kobe, just give it to all these players on the Portland Trailblazers in Game 7 at Staples Center, and let me just watch the Black Mamba be the Black Mamba. But that's going to come in time. Even listening to some of the lead-in to a lot of the shows that I've been doing, it's tough. It's tough to hear any of these promos. But at the same time, as I say that, I look at this current team, and I look at this current roster, and I look at where the Lakers are right now, and I say to myself, this is not like any other season. I want the Lakers to obviously walk into that game against the San Antonio Spurs and smash the Spurs tomorrow. And then I want them to go play the Houston Rockets the night before the NBA trade deadline and smash the Houston Rockets. And I want the Lakers to hopefully start another 5-7, 10-game winning streak. I want all that. But it's kind of for a different reason now. It's not for the same reasons as it used to be. And I'm curious to hear from Laker fans if you're getting closer to the game or you feel like after this tragedy, it's tough to even watch some of these games and to be a part of some of this content that's going on 24/7, obviously around the Los Angeles Lakers. Phone number 877-710-ESPN. Peter in Ontario. Peter, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Al?
Good, man. Thank you.
You know what? I agree with you, man. I was they've been replaying the Kobe, 60 points and then the 81. I just can't watch it.
I tried to,
and then I just kind of changed the channel. As soon as they would like do a close up of Kobe, it's like, no, can't do it. It's too heartbreaking, man. They and going back to your question in regards to yeah, I think it has taken a lot of the luster away from it because, I mean, it's basketball. It's, it's not life. And this guy gave it his all, mm-hmm. absolutely, right? But at the end of the day, it's just basketball. And, he's lost his wife and kids, has lost a father and a sister and a son from the parent side. And it's tough to watch.
It gives a different perspective, right? And I'm not saying that, but your perspective is different. It's changed. How can it not change?
Yeah, it does. I don't know if you got a chance to watch ESPN when they were doing the NFL just before the Super Bowl.
Randy Moss?
What's that?
The Randy Moss?
Question to one of the NFL players, what he thought about Kobe. And they're still breaking down. Kobe was an icon to not just basketball or just to everybody,
Peter, I appreciate you calling in. Look, it is I think that's the best way to put it. And by the way, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was actually referencing when you mentioned the NFL. I thought you were going to talk about Randy Moss. A little bit later, I'll play something from Randy Moss. I think it was from yesterday, and I think it was NFL Countdown or something along those lines. But listen, there are players rocking his jersey. He is an icon and much bigger of an icon than just a regular player. No, you create that over a 20-year span, and you have players in the league, in the NBA, whose idol was Kobe Bryant. You have players in the NFL whose idol was Kobe Bryant. That's very common. These sports can cross, especially for somebody like Kobe Bryant. More of you guys' phone calls. We come back. Stay right here. This is 710 ESPN, Lakers Talk. Enrique in El Monte, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Enrique.
Hey, Alan. I just wanted to say Friday night was definitely a beautiful thing they did for Kobe. Basketball was second that night, obviously, but it's disappointing we didn't come out with the win. But I want to give the team credit. They did play with heart. Kuzma, he snatched 15 boards. It kind of, it brought you a little joy to see them play with that much effort, even though we didn't come up with the win. With the trade deadline approaching, pregame, Stephen A was saying that the Lakers have enough, that Kobe said Lakers had enough. So with the trade deadline, it kind of feels, I don't know how else to say it, but I feel like this team needs to stay together. We shouldn't think about trading players, maybe getting a few players like Iggy, some free agents, Darren Collison. I don't know if that's still option still available. But I feel like this group should see it through. Win or lose, we win the chip or not. We just want to see him play with heart, play for Kobe, that's what he would want.
Listen, and I think that it's one of those predicaments where I can see, by the way, there's already challenges for the Lakers to make any trades. And the buyout market, which is what you're referring to, Enrique, might be the best path for the Lakers anyways. And if they can shore up a couple holes here and there through the buyout market, then you don't got to get rid of anybody. You don't have to get rid of Kyle Kuzma, who is an asset for the Lakers. It just happens to be a very young asset that doesn't make a lot of money, and you have to match salaries when you do any of these trades, and you're probably just going to get a role player back in return that's more of a veteran, been in the league for a while. So I'm not saying one way or the other what the Lakers should do. But if you're asking me, and if part of your point was that a lot of these players are closer to each other than they were in the past, or maybe closer because anytime you go through a predicament or a situation like that, I mean, I agree with you. I do think that they are closer. How can you not be after, you know, finding out together on the team plane? I mean, it's and by the way, it's already a close-knit group. It has been a close-knit group all season. It feels like, for me, it feels like the Lakers have outstanding chemistry. But do they have some holes as well? They do, but that's just going on the basketball part. I wasn't even actually thinking too much about that. Umberto in Santa Monica, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Umberto.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. And I definitely, you know, do agree with you saying that right at this moment, you know, basketball is secondary. But I believe that, you know, going forward, maybe in 2 weeks or when, you know, kind of the season gets in toward the postseason, I think the best way that these guys can honor Kobe is to just give it their all. Because, you know, Kobe pretty much dedicated half of his life to basketball. And, you know, that's what he will want to do. Just, you know, don't waste the opportunity. Just give everything you have. And I think that's probably going to be the best way for the team to, you know, to dedicate it to him.
Umberto, you know, there's a lot of players that by the way, you've heard Laker players say that. You've heard Damian Lillard say similar things. He said that after the Blazers beat the Lakers on Friday. Listen, Kobe motivated a lot more than just Laker players. I mean, Kobe motivated a ton of these players that are in the league right now. Spencer Dinwiddie had some beautiful comments about Kobe last week, as did DeMar DeRozan, as did, I mean, I could go down the list of every player in the league that had something to say about Kobe Bryant, either a personal reference, a personal experience, or it was that mentality that they appreciated and they respected that they try and apply to their game and their craft on a night-in-night-out basis. But I 100% agree with you in the sense that playing for Kobe gave it all he had for 20 years. And the best way to honor Kobe is to take a piece from what he did on a night in, night out basis. The way he approached the game and respected the game, his work ethic, his extra practice, his extra putting up shots, all that stuff. I think there is something to that when you say that is the best way to honor Kobe Bryant. Kaden in San Clemente, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Kaden.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
thanks
man.
For taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, so I just wanted to kind of touch on what you were saying on how, you know, we have a different kind of motivation now with the rest of this season. And I think for a lot of us being longtime Lakers fans and having LeBron just kind of pass Kobe in that record, a lot of people had mixed feelings. And I know, just after that speech, I think he really just kind of poured it all out and was super genuine. And anyone who kind of wasn't fully on board with LeBron, I think after that, we all kind of can stand together and unify as a team and kind of get behind what he was saying.
You know, Kaden, I've heard people say this, and I appreciate you calling in, but I've heard people say this. The LeBron thing I never understood. I mean, I've been with LeBron the moment, you know, he decided to come with the Lakers, just for the mere fact that he decided to come play for the Lakers. I don't care what the circumstances were. You know, when you're a fan of a team and you're a fan of a specific franchise and it's the purple and gold and you're used to winning and you hadn't made the playoffs in 5 years, now 6 years since the Lakers didn't make the playoffs last season. For me, LeBron is always, I've always respected LeBron, and I've always had an appreciation towards LeBron for coming here and obviously choosing Los Angeles Lakers. And frankly, I want to make sure that I say this the right way. When I say that this season is different now, that it means more, what I mean is just under the circumstances, right? I mean, here's the bottom line. It's still just a game. And we had the harsh reality of understanding that as iconic as someone can be, by the way, just anything can happen. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you know, I don't look at LeBron James and my thought process is, well, LBJ, we need you. You have to do this now. Actually, I don't think that's fair to LeBron. I don't think that's fair to any of these Lakers. They lost a friend too. You know, they're mourning as well. But when I say that it means something more. It's because, yeah, you know, you have like a whole fan base that's hurting. You know, you have a whole organization that's hurting. And I thought Saturday, I'll use Saturday and Sunday. I thought Saturday, for a moment there, you got a chance to smile. It felt good to see the Lakers get a win. You had some kind of positivity. Sunday, I don't know about you guys, I stayed away from everything and I just watched the Super Bowl. That's it. And I got a chance to get distracted for a couple hours. I got a chance to get away from it all. And not to say that there aren't reminders or anything like that, but I got a chance to kind of get away from it for a second. And I think that's therapeutic in a sense. All right, more of your guys' phone calls. Phil, you're on Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, man. So thanks for taking my call. You basically took the words out of my mouth and what I said. So put things into perspective. You were talking about how it's different now. So I'm a diehard Niner fan, and when the news broke last Sunday, we were looking at Niner stuff. We were thinking about the Super Bowl. And as soon as we found out what happened, I struggled to care about the Super Bowl all week long. You know, I tried to use it as a distraction. It didn't work. Yesterday, you know, watched the game. Like you said, it was a distraction for a few hours. The loss doesn't hit like it normally would because, yeah, Kobe passing changed everything that dramatically. You know, we went to Staples Center Friday just to go and try to, you know, get the vibes out there and be with Laker fans, and it was shocking to be around that many people and for it to be so quiet. You know, everything is totally different, and again, what you were just saying is exactly my thoughts. I have heard some fans, you know, that are kind of unreasonable taking LeBron's statements, you know, that he's got us and, you know, he's going to do, you know, he's going to carry on Kobe's legacy. They're taking it as, you know, he's got to win. He has to win the championship for Kobe. And it's like, it's the opposite. You know, what we need to do is recognize that LeBron has already taken on that legacy even before this happened, as far as he's a great dad. He leaves it all on the court. He's a great player. And you know what? We already had a great shot to win the title. We could win the title. And if we do, it'll be amazing. But if we don't, we need to recognize that, you know, there's bigger issues at hand in life. Sports are awesome. They're fun. But Kobe's legacy is so much more than that, as we've seen. And, you know, LeBron already, you know, carries on that legacy. And let's not put all that, you know, pressure on his shoulders. He's had pressure on his shoulders since he was a teenager, just like Kobe. And let's learn from that and appreciate him while he's here. And, you know, just honor Kobe.
Appreciate the call, Phil. Well put. It's well put. Everybody's going to have different thoughts and feelings on that, by the way, because I don't think a lot of people would agree with Phil, or there might be a lot of people who would agree, but then there's the other side of it. But nonetheless, I thought that was well put. Patrick in Long Beach, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thanks, Alan. I might kind of reiterate some of what the last caller just said, which I agree with. You know, I was at the game on Friday, and kind of the same thing. You know, people's like have their opinions on how it was, and we all expect it to be like the best speech ever, the best memorial ever. You know, everything has to be the best ever in this generation that we live in, and it was really well done and very nice. And it was nice to watch basketball, even though like our guys were present. And people, you kept saying that more than anyone. We're gonna get back to basketball. Get back to basketball. And once the game started, it felt like we were getting back to basketball. My thing that I take with like the pressure on LeBron and these guys is not to win a championship, but us as fans, the blessing of Kobe, like, are our Batman, our Superman, our legend. Now we have to embrace these guys that are here for us, LeBron, Dwight Howard. Like, they're Lakers now, and we have to have their back like we had Kobe's. And that's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's like they're doing everything they can to win for us, and we have to be their fan, you know, be the hometown for them and make them proud to be playing in L.A. That's how I look at it.
Appreciate it, Patrick. You know, this is what I've always kind of said, and I've always been a fan of the jersey before I'm a fan of the player, and it's because that player is rocking that jersey that I become a fan of the player. And, you know, that's how Kobe Bryant, doesn't have to be that level of Kobe Bryant. I loved Nick Van Exel, and Eddie Jones was one of my favorite players growing up. You love the Brian Shaws, the Derek Fisher, the Rick Fox. It doesn't have to be just a star player. But when these guys are Lakers, LBJ and Dwight, just what Patrick was just referencing to there, of course, you know, they mean so much to the organization, and we should respect these guys because they are Los Angeles Lakers and they've had some history with the Lakers. It doesn't matter. All that doesn't matter because they're wearing your jersey now. I know I kind of went off topic here from where we were in the beginning. I'll hit on this a little bit more at around 7:30. I'll hit more on, are you watching the game a little bit different now than you were? Are certain things not as important because you know that this is just a game? Or is it more meaningful to you now because you'd love nothing more than, you know, this proud fan base to have something to cheer for by the time mid-June comes? Mark Medina, who's an NBA writer for USA Today. Mark Medina's come on this show a couple different times. He actually interviewed Kobe about 10 days before the tragic helicopter crash. And I've been with Mark at pretty much every one of these Laker games. So we'll get a chance to connect with Mark Medina coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. It's kind of crazy to think about the NBA trade deadline on Thursday. A little bit surreal to NBA trade deadline. I forgot. Honestly, I forgot. So it comes up this Thursday. Trade deadline's at noon. I'll give some rumors that are kind of all around. We'll do that in a little bit. But it is something that just kind of snuck up on us. It feels like one of those things where 2 weeks ago, that's all we were talking about. And what should the Lakers do? It's Kuzma. And you got to get a wing defender. I'll go with some of the things that I've been talking about for a long time. But at the same time, you know, this Lakers roster and this Lakers team, I think there is always a question mark of, okay, does this Lakers team have enough right now as is? Do they have enough to win an NBA championship? And as we slowly kind of get back into that conversation, that's a fair question to have. And there's going to be a lot of teams coming up this Thursday that are trying to figure out, all right, do we got enough to beat the Los Angeles Lakers? Do we got enough to beat the Los Angeles Clippers, the Milwaukee Bucks? Who else you want to put in that mix? Maybe Boston, maybe Philadelphia. I don't know who else you want to, Toronto, whoever else you want to put in that conversation in the Eastern Conference. But in the West, I've said this for a while, I don't feel like teams are just going to be sitting around. I don't think that, you know, I feel like you're almost kind of mailing it in a sense. If you're not active and if you're not trying to catch up to the Lakers and Clippers, because I do think those are the two teams to beat in the West. And Rob Pelinka, you know, obviously the president, general manager, VP for everything basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers, he's got such a part of me just kind of thinks in my head, like, how do you go back now and just conduct business, you know? I mean, he lost his best friend. Andy Kamenitsky will come up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're listening to Mason and Ireland leading in, you guys know whether I already did that interview or I did not. So thank you, Steve Mason, for pointing that out. But AK will talk a little bit about that because that is a topic that I do want to get into about kind of just the balancing act that, you know, Rob Pelinka has right now and, you know, trying to put himself in a position just from a personal perspective of trying to take care of the Lakers, but trying to take care of himself. I mean, this is his best friend. All right, joining the show now, Mark Medina, NBA writer for USA Today. Mark, thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
You got it, buddy. I want to just start off real quick. Obviously, you were there on Friday night. What stuck out to you? Obviously, the Lakers remembering Kobe Bryant, remembering Gianna Bryant, and all those who lost their lives a little bit over a week ago. What stuck out on Friday? And, you know, for those that weren't there, maybe you could paint a little bit of a picture of that.
Yeah, I mean, for anyone who went to Kobe's final game, you know, when he had the 60-point game against Utah in 2016, or when he had his jersey's retirement, the number 8, number 24 jerseys before regular season game against the Golden State Warriors, it really had that same kind of feel in terms of the tributes, where there's a lot going outside, there's memorials, there's video tributes, but it was under an entirely different context, where in those two instances, Kobe's final game and his jersey retirement, it's a celebration. It's nostalgia. And here, it felt like a funeral. And I think that as the night went on, because there were so many amazing, you know, performers and video tributes, it wound up becoming a little bit of a celebration because it was therapeutic. But at the beginning, it was very somber, just very devastating, because obviously, as Laker fans know, this tragic death just came out of nowhere, and it was really on the hinge of, you know, Kobe had this whole second act of his life to live with, you know, expanding his storytelling business and his Mamba Sports Academy and coaching his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, who was also, you know, on the helicopter crash. So it was a very surreal moment, to say the least.
Yeah, I can't describe it. Like, I think for me it was all just surreal that we were there for that. You know, like, that's what sticks out to me. Walking into the arena and seeing the 8s and the 24s and the KB on the floor and remembering Kobe Bryant on the Jumbotron. Like, it's those little things that stuck out to me that was so difficult to comprehend. And I think there's a lot of fans that are, by the way, whether you're a fan of the Lakers, which made you a fan of Kobe, or you were just admired Kobe Bryant's game, I think there's still a lot of people, Mark, that kind of still sit under this this shadow of trying to figure out and trying to accept the tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you felt, but there's certainly days, I think really every single day since we learned about Kobe's passing last Sunday, as I wake up and I think, this didn't really happen. This can't be real. And then it hits you, and it's like, yeah, it did. And then, you know, there's times where sometimes I'm writing or I'm on the phone or listening to one of these press conferences, and people are, you know, reflecting on different moments about Kobe. And you're kind of remembering, oh, yeah, that was fun, and you're going down memory lane, and it's almost making me trigger what it was like covering the farewell tour. And then I'm thinking, oh, wow, like, they're talking about this because Kobe died, not because something notable happened that he did on or off the court. And I think that's been another process. And look, I think, you know, Kobe's death is like anyone's death. Like, there are those stages of grief where you have the initial shock and you're trying to find different coping mechanisms and you're around people that know that particular individual. And then eventually things are able to get back to normal where you don't feel so paralyzed in the moment. But I think with that, there are still going to be moments, you know, for anyone that, you know, you get these little triggers that remind you of his tragic passing. And, you know, I think for better and for worse, the way this season's going to be playing out, it's all going to be defined about Kobe. Where every visiting venue, every road game that the Lakers on, that team is going to have a Kobe tribute video. There's going to be, you know, reflections from that team, and it's going to just serve as another reminder to the Lakers organization that Kobe's no longer with us. So, you know, on one hand, you think, okay, this can be cathartic and it helps you move forward and knowing how Kobe is as a player, maybe inspiring you to give your best effort. But at the same time, it could open up the wounds and just really interesting sense of contradictions, because it could almost heal you and make you feel, you know, grief both at once.
Mark Medina, NBA writer for USA Today, hopping on Lakers Talk. Mark, you did an interview, I think it was 10 days before Kobe passed, something like that.
Yeah, nine days.
Mm. Mm. Tell us a little bit about that interview and Ed, just some things that stick out to you.
Yeah, it's really surreal. 9 days before before his passing, I went down to his studios down in Costa Mesa, and this was in the works for a while, where, you know, he was trying to plug his fourth book that was coming out under the Wizenard series, and, you know, I was very interested in talk with him about, you know, post-NBA life and how he's made the transition. So, you know, there was a lot of conversation back and forth, you know, I think very open, where, you know, both parties were coming at it from a win-win perspective. And so when we talked, it was about 45 minutes. You know, we covered a lot of ground, and I think there was an element of nostalgia because, you know, I had covered his last 7.5 seasons of his career. You know, you don't see him as much. And, you know, I had a new job. I used to cover the Lakers for the LA Daily News for a little bit. I went up north to do the Warriors beat for the Bay Area News Group. So there was a little bit of catching up from both ends, you know, for me, for my interview. But then, you know, when it ended, from his end, just kind of me catching him up to speed on my new role and all that. And so 9 days later, to then hear about Kobe's passing made that even tougher, because not only was it that I had just seen and spoken to him, but it was the subject matter. It was very much under the theme of, you know, what is in store for Kobe's, you know, next chapter. And he had already done so much, you know, 4 years since retiring in the NBA, where he got an Oscar and an Emmy for the Dear Basketball short film. You know, he's about to get his fourth book published. He was about to enter the third season of his ESPN Detail series and the Puny podcast. And, you know, I know going into the interview, like a lot of people around him, whether it was with the Lakers or people in Lower Merion High School, his alma mater outside of Philadelphia, they were all intrigued of, okay, like what's next on Kobe's bucket list? Because as you guys know, Kobe's very ambitious, and when he has his mindset on something, he'll do what it takes to try to get it done. And so when I asked him, you know, what's on his bucket list for the next 5-10 years, and he was talking about how he wanted to do a few things, hire more and more writers to turn these book series into even something bigger, and number two, turn these books into theatrical plays or live television shows or even movies. And he knew that was going to be a process, but just like how he was earlier in his career, he would be persistent with it. And then he was talking about his, you know, coaching Gianna and how much joy that brought him and how his coaching approach is drastically different than how he was on the floor with teammates at times, where, you know, he was known as that very demanding teammate who wasn't afraid to yell at you and get in your face. But with his daughter and, you know, her friends on the AAU team, he was very encouraging and positive and patient. And so with that, it just really hammered home that, you know, as much as Kobe had accomplished so much on the NBA court, there's a lot of life that he left unfulfilled. And, you know, I think on one hand, not that Kobe wanted to die at a young age, certainly not at 41 years old, but I think that he would much rather be remembered for doing so many things in a short period of time as opposed to just living this long life but nothing of consequence really happened. But also knowing Kobe, I can't help but think that there's a lot of unfinished business that he left because of the fact that, you know, he tragically died at the age of 41 as opposed to, say, sometime in his 80s or 90s or even beyond that.
Mark, final question, and I appreciate you just explaining that that interview, because that is fascinating. It's fascinating that to kind of, that's an inside look on what Kobe had in mind the rest of the way, or at least in this, you know, this short future. Final question, I just want to get your thoughts on, what did you think of Los Angeles, Laker fans? This last week has been such a difficult week for everybody, the organization, the players, the front office, but the city and the fans too. I mean, it's incredibly, incredibly sad. For me, I think it's been unbelievable the way that the city has kind of united, and there's been so much love and sympathy. What did you think of how this fan base reacted, and really the city as a whole?
Yeah, I thought the fan base reacted just how I thought they would. That there would be a lot of mourning, there would be a lot of kind of unity and coming together, and there would be a lot of tributes. I mean, when I was when I drove to Calabasas to go near the crash site, there was a church that was holding a memorial that night for grieving Kobe fans. And there was a lot of, you know, tributes of just kind of fans leaving different mementos, jerseys, flowers, posters. Same scene at Mamba Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks. And then when you go down to Staples Center, that was growing by the day. And eventually, you know, I think today they started removing those items because, one, you know, Vanessa Bryant, you know, wanted to have those items in her possession, rightfully so. That's what the intent was for. But also, there was a feeling for, you know, just LA Live and Staples Center and AEG, they needed to eventually, you know, move on with other things. But I think that that really captured Kobe's popularity here, where he appealed to the Hollywood crowd because he is this superstar talent, and he does so many moves that no one can do, and he just dazzles everyone. But he also appealed to the common man in LA because of his dogged work ethic. And frankly, you know, LA is such a diverse city in terms of ethnicity, where there's a lot of, you know, Black, Latino, Asians, whites, everyone. And he appealed to all those demographics, not only because work ethic is such a universally admired trait, but, you know, Kobe himself was his own renaissance man, where he, you know, grew up in Italy. He was multilingual. He would make business trips in the off season to China. You know, that appeals to everyone. So I think for LA, like, there's very few things that everyone can agree on in the city, but recognizing Kobe Bryant's greatness is something that is universally admired in LA, no matter how diverse the city is.
Mark, great stuff, buddy. I appreciate you taking some time and hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
All right, that's Mark Medina, NBA writer for USA Today. When we come back, LeBron James at practice today. I want to play that. And then also Scottie Pippen had some thoughts on if he thinks the Lakers have enough right now. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. I just saw a tweet right now. So San Antonio Spurs are taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. And let me try and source this here real quick. Find the person who put out the tweet. DeMar DeRozan wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey, a purple Kobe Bryant jersey, and a completely yellow jumpsuit. So DeMar DeRozan showing his love and his respect for Kobe Bryant. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan from Southern California, from L.A., has talked about in the past how much, important Kobe Bryant was to him. Dan Wokey of the L.A. Times, I think he's L.A. Times, put out the tweet. So just a phenomenal, national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times. Just a phenomenal photo, and it's just powerful to see NBA players walking into arenas from an opposing team rocking all Kobe Bryant. Gotta love that. Lakers had practice day. They had shoot around. Here's LeBron James. I do want to play the interview. Gives you guys just some insight into LBJ outside of a game. Here's LBJ from the Lakers practice facility.
Today's the start of a new week. You know, we got a great workout, great practice today. Continue to focus on what needs to be done to help us to continue to win ball games and get better, be as great as we can be. You know, so it's a good day for us today.
Ron, what do you think it took for the group to be able to put its best foot forward?
You mean last game or period?
Just period this past week.
Just being together. That's it. Just being together. Being a one unit, there's no way any one individual can do it on their own. The week that we had, the week that we all had, you had to lean on somebody in order to gain strength. So that's the only reason we were all be able to get through it together.
What does it show about Kobe when God at the Super Bowl when talking about him in reference to
what he won? Legend. That's all. The impact that he made both on the floor and off the floor, being able to inspire people. Inspire people older than him, inspire people that's younger than him, inspire ones that kind of needed that inspiration that's now professional athletes that's doing great things now, was all inspired by him. So he's a legend, and legends never die, obviously.
How do you view the game coming up tomorrow? The first game back after, obviously, Friday's super emotional.
I mean, every game going to be emotional. You're going to look up in the rafters, you're going to see the 8, that 24, you're going to see the decal on the floor. Every game is going to be emotional. But, you know, obviously, you know, time heals all. It's going to continue to help us every game, every day. Continue to lean on each other, lean on our crowd. Our crowd going to lean on us. And, you know, we got to continue to push forward because that's what he would want us to do. I'm on my way. Hold up.
Dwight's the only one who played with him. How's he been doing in the last
week? Like I said, we're all in on each other. Some of us has more experience with Kobe face-to-face, more personal time with him. Some of us haven't, but some of us, all of us are influenced by him. So what level of grief that you've gone through, we all lean on each other for strength, you know, all week. And we're going to continue to do that throughout the year.
It's obviously the week of the trade deadline. I mean, a different year, that always feels like the most important thing in the week. How does the organization, and specifically Rob, do you think, go about kind of the business of the NBA? And then also, how do you guys support Rob?
That's a Rob question. I can't speak on what Rob is thinking about right now or what our front office is thinking about. You know, for me as the leader of the team right now, I'm thinking about how we continue to get better and continue to lean on each other throughout this difficult time for us as we continue to get over what's most important. So I have no idea on the question that you asked, but I know we can all just continue to support each other no matter what's going on.
Considering how emotional this week has been, and, you know, the season is going to continue to be, what goes into sort of learning how to channel those emotions
to
your guys'
benefit in
games?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, we believe that pretty much every arena that we go to is going to be, you know, some type of emotion. Just because of the impact that the guy had, both as an opponent, both as his competitive nature, as a winner, we understand that. And we're going to continue to lean on each other no matter what's going on. If you become emotional or you start having flashbacks of our first home game after the event, we're brotherhood. And we understand that. And so we have the support to get us through the toughest week of some of our lives. And you know, we're going to continue to lean on each other no matter what's going on.
You guys obviously talked about the 81 points in the first half on Saturday. In your own life and over the last week, have there been other kind of like eerie reminders of Kobe that you've seen?
In my life?
No, just this week of seeing 8s and 24s? Or,
yeah. It's a daily reminder. Listen, you can't open your phone without getting a daily reminder about it, and rightfully so. I think it's very well warranted. And obviously, you know, we all talked about it after the game, the fact that, you know, we scored 81 points in the first 24 minutes, how eerie that was. And then we talked about how both teams' combined points was 224 points, right? Or 242? Or 242 is like the 2 and the 224. It is like it's some weird stuff going on. You know, so, man, this is pretty cool. It's just a daily reminder. I got two more, Doc. Two more, guys. 80 on me. So.
What did you think of the All-Star, the things that they're doing to honor Cody?
Pretty cool. They asked me which number did I want to wear, the 24 or the 2 for my team, and I picked 2. Giannis is going to wear 24 for their team. You know, it's only right. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. We have a legend in our league that, you know, obviously the situation that happened, so we get to honor him and you know, throughout the whole weekend.
What made you decide on 2?
Huh?
What made you decide on 2?
Missouri.
I'm breaking the huddles with 1-2-3 Mamba. Did that just happen? Did you guys discuss doing it?
No, we didn't discuss it. It organically happened. We usually, you know, say defense or Lakers or together. So, you know, it organically happened. Obviously, you know, one of our practices that we had before we played the Portland game.
All right, that's LBJ from the Lakers practice facility. All right, a couple things I want to get into when we come back. I know as we kind of talk a little bit more about basketball, I love what LBJ, a couple things there, just talking about how the team, it's not about one person trying to get through it, it's about the entire team trying to get through it together. And it's going to be a constant reminder wherever they go, like you mentioned. There's going to be tributes for Kobe Bryant wherever this team goes, as there should be. We don't expect anything different. We'll see how this team can continue to unite. Scottie Pippen was on the Jump and talked about whether the Lakers have enough right now. If one team between the Lakers and the Clippers have to make some kind of a move, who needs the move more? I'll play that bit coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about that. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, read off a couple of tweets here. Obviously, the NBA trade deadline is coming up on Thursday at noon. Adrian Wojnarowski says that there's been chatter about Clint Capela of obviously the Houston Rockets, so I'm going to throw in a couple names here. ESPN sources, another team engaged with the Houston Rockets in trade talks for center Clint Capela, the Boston Celtics. Sources, the Atlanta Hawks remain a possible landing spot for Capela as well. Rockets are pursuing first-round picks to flip into a deal for a wing player and another center. Robert Covington and Andre Iguodala are among several Houston targets. So that's some of the chatter around a Western Conference team. Obviously, the Lakers are going to play the Rockets coming up this Wednesday. And on top of that, we've heard the name Andre Iguodala, you know, mentioned so much so far this season around the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll see if the Lakers have a shot at him or not. There was another report earlier that if Iguodala doesn't get traded to a team that he wants to play for, he is prepared to sit out the season, something along those lines. I'll find that tweet and read it verbatim. One of the things that I did want to do is I like watching the jump. I like watching Jalen and Jacoby first take. A lot of these kind of shows that I know get into the NBA a lot. And one of the things that I heard today, Scottie Pippen and Jackie McMullen were asked by Rachel Nichols about which team needs to make a move more, the Lakers or the Clippers. Here's Scottie Pippen on what he thinks.
They haven't shown that they can finish games. I think a lot of games, close games, last 5 minutes games where they're in games and they need that closer, the guy that can make big shots, take it big shots, and are willing to go to the free throw line and make foul shots. That's the piece I think that they need, and that's the advantage I think that the Clippers have on them right now, because they got guys like Lou Williams, Kawhi, Paul George. These three guys, they're willing to close games, and they're willing to take big shots. If you look at the Lakers, you're really going to go with LeBron, AD, but they're not guys that are known to close games. And these
LeBron
guys
has done it in the past, but this
I'm not taking it away from LeBron. I'm not taking it away, but LeBron has also played along with some of the best closers in the game.
Yes.
I've said this before.
Yep.
He's played with Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm.
Kyrie.
He's played with Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have those kind of players on his team now.
All right, that's Scottie Pippen right there. So, you know, look, this has been kind of the theme from a basketball perspective. Let's go back to on the basketball court, which, you know, I haven't spent too much time talking about things on the court as, you know, we continue to kind of think and mourn about what happened just a week ago from yesterday. On the basketball side of things, the question is going to continue to come up until the NBA trade deadline of, do the Lakers got enough right now? Are you happy? Are you comfortable with what the Lakers have? Pippen is saying, no, I don't think they have enough. If the Lakers and the Clippers go in a 7-game set, do the Lakers have enough against the Los Angeles Clippers? It's a fair question, by the way. I think you can make an argument both ways. I can sit here and say, well, look, they lost that game to the Clippers. They had a 15-point lead in the third quarter. A couple bad possessions here or there towards the end. Lakers could have won that game. And we know what happened in the first game. In the third game, Lakers didn't play. That game was postponed after the tragic accident with Kobe Bryant. I still think the Lakers need something. And do I feel like a trade is going to come down? Do I feel like Lakers will be super active? By the way, they're going to have a ton of challenges because it's not like they have crazy amount of assets. I think the buyout market is where the Lakers can capitalize most and still keep a Kyle Kuzma on the roster. Now, if some kind of deal comes through and the Lakers are able to really increase their chances at a chance at an NBA championship this season, of course, they're not going to hesitate. Why would they? They can't. They would do it. But is that opportunity going to be presented? I don't have the answer to that. I do feel like that's going to be a challenge. So Iguodala prepared to sit out the season. This was a report from David Aldridge of The Athletic. If he isn't traded, then he would be prepared to sit out the rest of the season. So we'll see what happens on that front. It was David Aldridge saying, per league sources, Andre Iguodala is prepared to sit out the rest of the season if Memphis isn't able to orchestrate a trade with one of the agreed-upon teams he designated by Thursday's NBA trade deadline. So he went on to say Iguodala and Memphis mutually agreed he would not report to the Grizzlies while the team tried to find a trade partner. 36-year-old, has yet to play after being traded by the Golden State to the Grizzlies last summer. Okay, we have a shootout coming up next. Myself and Funches. Also in the 8 o'clock hour, Andy Kamenitsky will hop on the broadcast, and we'll talk some Los Angeles Lakers basketball and just really the kind of the challenge for Rob Pelinka in such a difficult time to have to deal with the business side. You know, it's well known that Rob Pelinka and Kobe Bryant were best friends. And to just even think the shoes that he's in to try and conduct business at a time like this, I can only imagine. So we'll have some of that conversation as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.